Tonight we learn an amazing truth, and that is that God's people are blessed. Amen? And if you're here tonight and you're one of God's people, you are blessed. Amen? And Israel, even though they sinned, even though he continually had to chastise them, as you'll see, they're still his people. And so chapter 22, we're just going to look at the first 14. It's quite a long chapter, but tonight we're just going to focus on the first 14 verses of number 22. And verse 1, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river, the land of the children of his people, to call them, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. They are blessed. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight, and that the Holy Spirit would use the word to teach and grow us in our faith, in our understanding of our standing with you as your children. I pray, Lord, that your will be done, that you would guide us in your truth. Thank you for your powerful word and that we can open it together tonight. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we know this is quite a long story. We're going to learn a lot from Balaam. But he started off right. Amen? If we could just stop here with the story of Balaam, it would all be good with the story of Balaam. But it didn't end here, as you know, and we'll see more as we come. But the first thing we see, the problem, is verse 6. He had a reputation, didn't he? And that reputation was that he was willing to be a prophet for hire. Now, in 2 Peter, the Bible calls it the wages of unrighteousness. That Balaam was willing to let people hire him to be God's prophet for pay. And that was not allowed. Remember what the disciples said, or the apostles, sorry, said, silver and gold have we none, but what we do have in the name of Jesus Christ. And they healed the man on the porch. And so what did they do? They, because he had this reputation, they sent, or the king, Balak, sent his messengers with a bunch of rewards, with money and probably jewels and gifts, who knows. He called it, verse 7, the rewards of divination. So in other words, we're going to reward him for divining. And that was their word, of course, their Gentile word for prophesying in the name of God. The rewards of divination. And does the world offer us rewards for disobeying God? Absolutely, all the time. The devil comes along and says, I'll give you all this if you'll just follow me. He tried it with Jesus in the desert, didn't he? showed him the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all of this. All you have to do is worship me. And so, thankfully, he started off right, verse 8. I will only give you what the Lord says, essentially. He says, as the Lord shall speak unto me. Praise God. Right attitude. I will only do what God tells me to do. Now God's going to give Balaam his perfect will. Amen? What's his perfect will? Two things. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse this people. Pretty simple. Amen? Does Balaam eventually go? Yes. But God's already given his perfect will. And of course, then we get to see the whole story of the donkey and all of that. Why? Because Balaam stepped out of God's perfect will. His perfect will, don't go. His perfect will, don't curse this people. Why? Why, Lord? Why should I not curse this people? They've done nothing but disobey you. They've done nothing but attack your leader. They've done nothing but complain and murmur. Why would you say this? Look what he says, verse 12. They are blessed. They are blessed. Now, in the next couple of chapters, they're going to disobey God again and be chastised again. So how do we reconcile this? And this is how it works with God. Amen? If you are his child, you are blessed. Do you still disobey? Yes. And sometimes does that disobedience require God to step in and chastise you? Yes. But you're still blessed. And it's important for us to get a hold of this great truth that if you're a child of God, you're blessed. Amen? Beyond measure. Let's look at some verses in Ephesians 1 if we could. And just be reminded how blessed we are if we are a Christian. And if you're a born-again believer tonight, my friend, you are blessed. You are blessed as God's child. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's pretty blessed, isn't it? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at verse 6. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So just in those two verses, we find out that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings and we're accepted in the beloved. So what is he telling us? Oh, by the way, in heavenly places. So what he's telling us is that if you're a born-again Christian, in God's mind's eye, from a doctrinal point of view, you're already in heaven. Why? Because you're in Christ. But it's a done deal. You're in heaven. In Christ. One of the reasons why we cannot lose our salvation. But also, notice it says in verse 6, you are accepted. We do not have to do anything from the day we get saved to try to become acceptable to God. Now, should we serve God? Of course. Out of a motive of love and gratitude. But we don't serve God to try to earn something, do we? Or to try to earn his acceptance. Because his acceptance isn't based on our behavior, it's based on Jesus. And the fact that we are in Jesus. If you are in Jesus, you are accepted. You're 100% acceptable. Every single born-again believer is accepted in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:5 while we're in Ephesians. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. That word quicken means to give life. And we all know that if we're born again, we've been given eternal life. Amen? We're quickened, what? With Christ. Now, these are just some examples tonight, but we could spend the whole night just talking about how blessed we are. Not because of what church we attend, not because of what we wear, what house we live in, but because of Jesus. Amen? Only because of Jesus are we blessed. Now, why was Israel blessed? Because they were God's chosen people. Not because they deserved to be blessed. All we see is disobedience. Do we deserve to be blessed? No, we do not. We fail God every day. So, what God is teaching us is this beautiful principle that his people are blessed. And therefore, Balaam, don't curse them. Don't go with this king. Do not try to curse my people. Don't do it. They're my people. And we've seen this in the Old Testament over and over again, that the worst thing you can do is go after God's people. And by the way, Balaam then came up with the doctrine. Peter calls it the Balaam of doctrine, or the doctrine of Balaam, sorry. You know what that doctrine was? I can't curse them because God won't let me. So, here's my advice, Balak, and we'll see this when we get to it in a couple weeks. I can't curse them. They're God's people. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down and mingle with them and become friends with them and intermarry with them. And it worked. That's exactly what Balak did. And then what did God have to do but punish his people for disobeying his laws about intermingling with the Gentiles? It worked. And it's still called the doctrine of Balaam thousands of years later. This doctrine of the devil saying, well, it's hard to curse someone that's blessed, but I can certainly push them to sin so that then God has to punish them. And the devil's been using it for a long time, hasn't he? So never forget that if you're a child of God, you are blessed. Now, Balaam rose up in the morning. We see in verse 13, go to your land. God won't let me. He said, the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. So he originally obeyed. He's sounding really spiritual right now. He hasn't taken any wages of unrighteousness yet. He hasn't given his doctrinal advice yet of how to beat them. By the way to beat them was to join them rather than try to curse them. But up to this point, it's all looking good. So we, if we are God's children, are blessed. Never forget that. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 6, I want to show you something. God has never said to a Christian, if you will get saved, life's going to be cruisy and easy, without trials, without problems. Now, I know that's being preached a lot. It's called prosperity theology. It's just not in the Bible. Matter of fact, the opposite is true in Scripture, isn't it? That God gives us trials to grow us. But notice Luke 6:22. Remember, we're blessed, right? Look what he says. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. When that happens, what are we supposed to do, those of us that are blessed? What does it say? Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. We can't even understand at this point what these rewards will be. But we're all going to heaven. That's done. Amen. We're going to spend forever with Jesus. And he has said that if I allow you as one of my blessed ones to be hated or separated or reproached or cast out as evil, rejoice. Matter of fact, he says, leap for joy. When was the last time any of us leaped for joy when we were hated or attacked or reproached? The disciples did it. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They actually were thankful. But let's face it, we're pretty spoiled, pretty soft. Most of us in our Christianity. Verse 40, Acts chapter 5. It says, unto him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. All right, so trust me, this would not have been like, you know, a play beating. This would have been the real deal. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, whining about the beating. That's not the King James. What's it say? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Thank you, Lord, for letting us just have a taste of what you went through on our behalf at Calvary. Thank you. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So God's people are blessed. You know, even when you look at it on a church level, it's not our place as Christians to try to correct other churches and their doctrines, is it? They are churches. We are a church. It's our place to try to get the gospel to the lost. Because you know what? We may disagree with their doctrine, and we need to be warned about false doctrine and taught about false doctrine, but it's not our place to go out and try to correct them in their doctrine. Because guess what? They are blessed. If they're Christians, we're going to spend forever with them in heaven. Forever. Think about that. They're blessed, just like we are. And there may be doctrines we disagree with and frustrate us sometimes. They are blessed. Don't forget that. If they're born again, they are blessed. We are all blessed in Jesus Christ. Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, because of Jesus. Amen? We are blessed. And so when God said, back up to verse 12, when God said, "Thou shalt not curse this people." Why? Because they're my people. But then we go to the Word of God and we find that Christians still might have the tendency to attack other Christians. Why would you attack someone that's blessed? You're just asking for God to now punish you. You see how that works? Which is dumb. Let's read some scriptures together and see what God says about the blessed ones and that we're not to curse them, that we're not to attack them. So let's start in Proverbs 10:18 and just quickly read a couple of scriptures. And remember, as we read these, if you're saved, you're blessed. You're God's. And the Lord is on my side. Amen. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Proverbs 10:18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, he that uttereth slander is a fool." Proverbs 11:13, if you want to turn there. "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Proverbs 17:9, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." Mark 11:25. So there's a couple of Old Testament. Let's look at some New Testament. And these all have to do with trying to hurt or curse the blessed. Mark 11:25, "When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any." Romans 14:19. I might be moving a bit fast, but I'll read them all carefully. Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another." Galatians 5:15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Almost done. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." Titus 3:2, "To speak evil of..." Sorry, give you time to get there. Titus 3:2. "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." 1 Peter 2:1. 1 Peter 2:1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings." And 1 Peter 3:9. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." There's that word again. Blessing. Blessed. And then 1 Peter 4:15, that'll be the last one. Just some sample verses. "Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Why does God give us all of this advice? Because we're all blessed. We're all God's children. And that's why he said to Balaam, no, don't do it. I'm angry with them. They've been super disobedient. I've had to punish them. I just punished them, by the way, with some fiery serpents in the previous chapter. But no, you're not going to curse them, Balaam. Why? They're blessed. They are my chosen ones. And if you're born again Christian, you are one of God's chosen ones. And so, don't waste your energy going after the blessed. Amen? Let's go after the lost with the gospel instead. Because Christians are blessed. Sometimes I'll meet a pastor from another type of church. I'm always cordial and friendly, and we may disagree on so many things. But I'll still call him brother. I'll still shake his hand. And we'll go our merry way. Never am I going to spend my time trying to say, oh, by the way, your doctrine's a mess. That's between him and God and him and his church. Amen? He's blessed. He's one of God's children. And I'm going to be walking around on the streets of gold with him forever. So remember that. Israel was blessed. And by the way, that hasn't changed. Amen? I mean, you look at them now, the whole world hates them. They're still his chosen people. They're still going to get their kingdom. The kingdom that you and I get to be part of, it's theirs. We just get grafted in. They're blessed. And yes, they've had to go through years and even centuries of chastisement, pain. It's not over. It's going to get worse in the tribulation period. But after the tribulation period, who gets the kingdom? Israel. They are blessed. And that's why people are so stupid today. And you know, I don't ever talk about politics, but you must always stand with Israel. Amen? They are God's chosen ones. To stand against them is just dumb. It's just dumb. They're his. They are blessed. And the same goes for Christians. They are blessed. So don't waste your energy. Take the gospel to the lost instead. He said, no, Balaam, do not. And whatever you do, do not curse this people. Wouldn't it be nice if he had listened to God's perfect will? But the story, as you will see, goes on and on and on because he did his best, because he wanted that money and those rewards. He did his best later on to try to curse God's people. And we all know that what happened, God overrode and never let him do it. And that's when he came up with the idea, well, no matter how hard I try, I can't curse them, so just go mingle. And it worked. So they are blessed. What a great truth for us as God's children. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are your children and that because of Jesus, we have everything. We cannot thank you enough for this, Lord, that you love us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you've indwelt us. Lord, that you've reserved an inheritance for us in heaven, which is undefiled and cannot fade away. Lord, that you're preparing a mansion for us. Our blessings just don't end. Thank you. And Lord, may we remember that we are blessed, that we are your children. And may that be our focus, is acting like your children. And Lord, focusing our energy on making more people your children through the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. How we love you and thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.